Welcome to my stories and journeys in the old land of Gwent. And on walked the rambler. When she felt like it, she stopped and sat and considered. And when she was ready, she got to her feet and walked on again. Still fastened to her belt was the feathered apron made of the bodies of dozens of small birds that had fallen from the sky when she had called to them as she sat by the Duke's table. But when the wind grew colder, she pulled her cloak closer around her, so close that the apron with its bright brown and russet feathers disappeared from view, and the cloak itself seemed to bleach and blur to the colour of a twist of fleece snagged on a thorn. Truth to tell, it wasn't much more than a day's walk to the Black Hill Ridge where she was headed. And if you had seen her, you would have said that she was making her way steadily. But even so, as she walked, night and day came and went, again and again. Yes, time passed and the world turned, and winter rolled on. The morning mists rose and lingered long into the day, and still Rambler stayed on the mountain, walking and watching. Now it is true that there are other figures that you might encounter on these hills, other misty forms, grey, white, black, light and dark, and something in between. And some have names and some are nameless, their edges softened and shifting, going about their business, drifting in and out of stories, puzzling and insubstantial. But Rambler is sturdy. She is skin and bone and strong. Her hair is white and her eyes are burning bright. Yes, this old woman is vigorous, sprightly even, as she grips her holly staff. And her balance is exquisite. She makes her way past ancient sheepfolds and more ancient hill forts. She moves along Mynydd the Gader, Hatteral Hill, along the black mountain ridge where deer trod, and the flints of long ago hunters who came following those deer still lie scattered here and there on the path, like trophies for the keen-eyed. When she has walked a good way along the ridge, the mist still swirling and the days and nights still shifting curiously about, she plants her holly staff in the ground and settles herself on a rock in the lee of the wind. And she looks out over the tumbling, folding hills below and the rivers that part them determinedly. She looks at the long valley below, sweeping away further northwards. Sharp and keen as flints, her eyes watch the land and the sky as it fills with silver-grey rays or icy rain. She studies the little river Honvi, winding persistently on its way through the valley, and the wide waters of the Milky Way, flowing their torrents of worlds across the heavens. The land under her feet is frosted, and the skies are bleak. She sits, her bleached cloak pulled around her, through short, bitter cold days and long, star-filled nights. Then, a day that had been brewing up a storm begins to deepen towards a frosty midnight. There's a kind of simmering of light and a strange flash in the sky, and Rambler tilts back her head and watches intently. And all around the stone where she is sat, the frosty ground is also behaving a little strangely too. The tussocky grass, or what had looked like tussocky grass, twitches and raises itself up. Yes, here and there, the lumpy ground raises a muzzle and stretches a leg and twitches a tail. And in a moment, the dogs, the ghost dogs that had run across the moor to join Rambler and Harriet at the Duke's table, those sleeping dogs are sat up on their haunches again, alert, every sinew straining, and they too gaze up as the wild hunt comes careering across the sky. The wind whips up as leaping horses and riders and Cunanun, the otherworld hounds, the sky hounds, go streaming high above them through the winter night, racing full pelt so that sparks seem to fly from the stars. They are moving so fast. There is a blur of riders. At the head of the pack, a hunter blowing a horn, and a woman. Is it a woman? Can that be Malta Norse? Black as a bat, her hair streaming out behind her in the night wind. She raises her hand as if in greeting. She howls, and so do the dogs. The sky hounds surge around her as they hurtle by. In a moment they'll be gone. Rambler calls out, and the dogs on the grass cannot restrain themselves a moment longer. They leap up, up from the mountainside and into the night sky, riding on the tail edges of the wind, bounding and bouncing their way up to join the skyhounds, to be part of the wild hunt as it goes by on this winter night. And in a moment, as Rambler sits watching, dogs and hunters and horses are gone. And all at once, the sky grows quiet again, and the stars twinkle in silence. This old rampage, this winter night chase from the other world. Older than bone, says Rambler to herself, but not older than stone. And Rambler wonders if anyone in any of the farms sat deep in the darkness of the valley, heard or looked up and saw. And she settles deeper into her cloak and waits for the morning light. And when the winter sun has risen and set once again, Rambler feels in her bones that now it is time. And on a night that has no stars and no moon, she begins to sing into the void bowl of the sky. Old rhymes, she sings, from a time when rhymes were different. Syllables of limestone and sandstone and mudstone and granite, chanted and lilted, rising up from deep within the cave of her chest. Faults and folds, eroding rock, consonants and vowels riven through the mountainside. These things, she sings. All through the night, she sings. And as she does so, She places her weathered hands on the belt around her belly that is hung with the feathered, russet and tawny coloured bodies of small birds. One by one, she untwists the threads that hold those frail bodies. One by one, she cups each bird in her hands for a moment and holds it there until, almost imperceptibly, it moves, it nestles and stirs and opens its eyes and opens its wings and flies away into the night. And Rambler does this again and again until every single bird is flown up and away, each one searching as it goes for what our eyes would not see in the foggy darkness of the night, the faint path of the Milky Way, stretching away like a bridge, like a path leading beyond, beyond the worlds we know. And as the dawn breaks silver on the horizon, Rambler stands leaning on her holly staff. Still and quiet as a stone she stands, with wisps of cold mist still swirling about her. And at last there is a crackling in the frosty grass, and through the mists the bone-white mare comes stepping and trotting to nuzzle Rambler where she stands. She pushes with her muzzle under Rambler's cloak, searching for and finding a hidden slice of apple. And Rambler strokes the mare's bony skull and whispers a few soft words, and the mare turns and gives her mane a shake and trots quickly away, picking a path down from the hillside towards the valley below. The mist swirls again as the bone mare disappears from view, and when it thins, there is Rambler, cradling in her arms the skull of a horse made of paper. A paper skull that is covered with words forgotten and words remembered. Casting one last look to the more distant northern horizon and easing her old bones into rhythm, Rambler sets off along the hill ridge to the path that will take her slowly but surely a little to the northeast. Yes, down from the mountain goes the old woman who is on her way home. Down to the valley, where she will lay aside her holly staff and fall into conversation with a young girl no more than 6 or 7 years of age, a February girl, who is walking by the river and thinking about swans and unicorns. And around goes the Rambler. Around she goes. Well, Rambler has now completed a great circle of the land of Gwent, and so have we. The snowdrops are out, and in many respects, the year's cycle will end where it began, with the February girl making her way towards the banks of the Mynwy, the Mono. But of course, we don't go down into the same river twice, or meet on its banks in quite the same way twice either. But you know, it has been such a joy to make this journey in your company. And I'd like to tell you what I hope is going to happen next. So importantly, Although we have completed a great circle, there is going to be one more episode, a bumper bonus episode, episode 25, from the very centre of the county. And I am particularly looking forward to making that episode. And it's going to be like a kind of a bridge, really. Because after that, there will be a break. And then, starting in April, if all goes to plan, there will be a season two. Now, Around Goes the Rambler season two won't be quite the same as season one. But I think you will like it. So at the end of this next bumper episode, episode 25, which will come out as usual in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I will tell you a bit more about what I hope season two is going to be. And I'm hoping that many of you who have so beautifully been listening to this to these episodes will stay on board. But I'll talk to you a bit more about that next time. So please listen out for episode 25. All episodes are going to stay available to listen to, both on Substack and on my own website. So if you do know of anyone who would like to start listening from the beginning, from episode one, then now would probably be quite a good time for them to hop on. And in addition to thanking you for your companionship, of course I'd also like to thank everyone who came and contributed and added their voices to the various episodes, some more than once, and who sung and spoke. It's really such a richness for them to be part of the weave. And I'm going to try and list everybody, just as a reminder, who took part in the different episodes. I'll try and do that in notes later on. And so for now, again, I can say thank you for keeping me company in my journeys and stories in the old land of Gwent. And I'll see you again on down the track.